essentially what are the big challenges you are facing with vendors and with I think mostly manufacturing companies, I believe. And also what are the companies that you are finding that it is easy to work with, and you know what sets you apart from competition? I guess these are the typical questions, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah, more than happy to give you. So we are a exclusively focused on big industrial transportation, primarily equipment, and helping them move unplanned maintenance to planned maintenance. So obviously these big industrials have years of experience maintaining their equipment. If they have any predictive analytics, it's usually a rules-based engine. So the expert knows that if the temperature of the motor goes above 500, something's wrong, right? And there's a rule built for that. And we're taking a data AI-based approach through machine learning algorithms. There's a lot of companies out there that are messaging that way. You can, buy Microsoft Azure, which comes with, ML libraries and many other things. What makes us different is that we have automated about 80% of the process of creating that actual machine learning algorithm. So the process of creating features, we do that automatically in a massive scale. So in a deployment, we might create 30,000 features. A normal data scientist would create maybe 50 or 100 features, right, with the data sets. We massively scale that. We automatically score those features, and we find the top 100 or 500 features for that particular piece of equipment in that particular environment. We have every known modeling technique out on the planet, plus some that we've created. We're heavy users of classification algorithms that predict the failure will or will not happen in the next days. So for a customer that has already teams of data scientists, have hired IBM and failed, have a lot of data, and they want to create a lot of algorithms, it's the manual approach doesn't scale very easily. So that's our sweet spot. So for us, customers are large industrials like Mars. GE is actually a customer. We're working with Wabtec. We're about to start with two engine manufacturers of aircraft engine turbines, and they have very sophisticated, smart teams and data scientists. They just can't see that our software is able to do that, right? And we go from project kickoff to go live in about 90 days.
And that includes data, of course, data integration as well.
Yeah, there is no magic to that. The data ETL is a challenge. We've built our own ETL engine that enables us to go incredibly fast, and it's purposely built for preparing that data, for pancaking that, and preparing it for machine learning AI. So, in a 90-day deployment, the first 30 are the data ETL consolidation into our environment. We use Elasticsearch as the technology in our platform where that data is stored. The second month is the machine learning automation, the algorithm creation. We call that the Max engine. And then the third month of a deployment is the configuration of Predicto Maintain. It's a front-end GUI application that takes daily predictions and turns them into notifications in a way that a user can actually operationalize in their real-life environment. So that's usually what a 90-day deployment for us looks like.
And just to understand the exact transportation setting, so it's planes or trains or
Yeah,
auto.
we started with rail, working both with freight locomotives, diesel and electric. The German DB Cargo, the German freight railroad system, is a customer with the Bombardier electric locomotives. We then did a pilot with bullet trains as well in Germany. We then expanded into aviation with non-engine parts like landing gears and hydraulics. And now we're getting into engines with two of the largest OEMs in the world. And then we landed Maersk as a customer. So we're working with them on cranes that load containers from the ports to the ships. So we put failure in those cranes. Technically, our software is not specific to just locomotives or aircraft. We can predict anything. We just, from a sales perspective, we're focusing on transportation first. We're about to potentially get into wind turbines as well. Big, heavy equipment that's spread across the vast area. That's kind of our sweet spot.
But quick question on the cranes, for example. So I mean, essentially, the point of maintenance is, okay, optimal performance and reducing downtime. In the crane case, I guess failure is something extremely rare, right? Because then you lose the crane operator and it's a big disaster. I mean, even before predictive technologies, they were able to achieve, operation without accidents, right? So what is the value add there? Because I don't know that it is much at all.
So great point. So if you think about a port, a port may have 5 or 25 cranes, right? And the ships come and park next to the port and they get unloaded and loaded. If you have one of those cranes that's not working, you reduce the speed by which you can unload and load the containers, and a backlog of other vessels are waiting to come into the port. So it creates a very big disruption in the supply chain.
That's very clear, but does that malfunction in the crane? Is that something that happens? What's the frequency? Oh.
One port could have probably 800 to 1,000 hours a year in downtime.
And it's expensive, I can imagine.
Right. So a motor, a gantry motor, the crane can't move from left to right, or the boom hoist is not able to pick up. I mean, there's, you know, it's a complex, you know, big piece of equipment, and it's like a locomotive. It's just, you know, performing a different function, right? Instead of pulling, it's moving and carrying, and it has a lot of moving parts, and those moving parts fail. They're exposed to the weather, next to the ocean, so salty air, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, things that can go wrong with them.
Clear. Final question, and if this is confidential, of course, don't go into detail, but I wonder the pricing of it, because if you know how much failure is going to happen, and you know how you can, essentially, if you have an idea about what you are worth to the companies, then, and if you can be, a bit opaque about your pricing, then it's a great opportunity to really price the market. But I don't know your approach, but just wanted to ask.
Yeah, we actually tried to do value-based pricing in the beginning. Struggled significantly with that because customers are really smart. They've been buying technology for years. And, you know, value-based pricing is naturally creates opaqueness and lack of transparency. And that was not working for us. So our price is pretty straightforward. We charge $250,000 a year for the base platform. And then we charge per prediction endpoint, we call it, per max. So depending on how many parts you want us to monitor and how many locomotives or cranes or engines you have, you multiply the two, and that gives you the total number of prediction endpoints that you need, and that allows us to start small and grow with the customer as their needs and their use of the software grows.
That's good. And you are extremely open.
So.
Okay. That's also the way we are going.